Now, if I was to mention a couple of songs without you looking this morning, I wonder, for example, if you could tell me what the specific song was all about. For example, if I was to say Psalm 82, anybody got a clue what Psalm 82 is about? All blank looks. What if I was to go to something like Psalm 140? I suggest you read your Bibles more. Joking, because I wouldn't know either. But if I was to mention Psalm 1, you'd know immediately, I would imagine, the majority. Somebody give Psalm 1? Hands up first instead of shouting out.
House of the Lord.
Hands up first instead of shouting out. You need to learn to hands up.
Blessed is the one who comes in the house of the Lord.
Okay, hands up again, Psalm 8. Oh, I thought, Cameron.
How majestic is your name?
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name on the earth. Oh, well, I'll go for an easy one. Psalm 23. Hands up. Hands up,
Edward.
Yeah. We'll get you right one day. Psalm 100. I think it was mentioned in a praise this morning. Know that he's our God, we're the sheep of his pasture. What about Psalm 121? Sandra. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. So we're going to turn to that chapter this morning. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, if you couldn't quite record it when I said Psalm 121, I'm sure that now you've heard it read, you know this psalm. We know it well, don't we? And I would guess that for those of us that know this psalm, we would say that we actually love this psalm. And although I've chosen this for this morning, a number of weeks back, it's almost as if it's so applicable for the nation of Israel at this time, that the Lord is their helper, and the Lord will never slumber nor sleep. He will watch over them. Now, I have mentioned this before, but this psalm, I love this psalm, and this psalm has been what has been the cause of my most awkward and most embarrassing moment as a pastor. And we do get those awkward moments and embarrassing moments. When we lived in Sudbury, our nearest hospital was the West Suffolk Hospital, which was about 18 miles away from where we lived, and had a call one day to say that somebody from the church who attended the church, and he did when he was in the UK, just waiting in an ante room, a side ward, because he was going to be going down for surgery. And would I go over and see them? So I drove over to the West Suffolk Hospital, and I went to the ward, and I should tell you that this guy had been involved in a horrendous road accident, and he was about to go down to the theatre to have his left foot amputated. And so they wanted me to pray with him and to share the word of God with him. And so I prayed with him. And there was a number of other friends in the ward as well. And then I began to read the word of God with him, and I decided that I would read Psalm 121. And you can imagine my horror as I was reading Psalm 121, that I got to verse 3 and realized exactly what it was I was going to read, and yet this man was going down to the theatre to have his foot amputated. Because it says in verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And I can assure you, there was no way I was going to stop reading at verse 2, because I'd said I was going to read Psalm 121. So I had to read that verse, and I can tell you, I felt so awkward, so embarrassed, I felt ashamed that I should read such a verse when this guy was waiting to go to have his foot taken off. I just wanted the floor to open up and to swallow me. Well, I don't think I thought that nobody had noticed. And it wasn't until a number of years later that I was talking to one of the ladies that was in that room, not to the person's wife, somebody else, and I referred to this, and she said, "You know what?" She said, "I picked up on it." But she said, "I don't think his wife nor even him had picked up on it at all." So it was my most embarrassing moment in West Suffolk Hospital. And can I say that my most precious moment was also in West Suffolk Hospital, as if I was redeemed in some way, because that was the same hospital where I led my friend Ray to the Lord just a few weeks ago. And when we come to this psalm, and we're particularly just going to look at the first couple of verses this morning, when we come to this psalm, we find that it is a psalm that the children of Israel would have sung as they made their way up towards the city of Jerusalem. It comes in the second of a series from Psalm 120 right the way through to Psalm 134, which are known as, and in my Bible they've got the title above them, as a song of ascent. And so perhaps we're familiar with so many of them. 121 we're familiar with, 122 where it says in verse 1, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And are you glad this morning to be found in the house of the Lord? And it's good to see so many in the presence of God this morning as we set apart this which is his day to come and to put ourselves in the place where we can come into his house, into his presence, and to worship him because of who he is and what he has done for us. 124, which is so applicable for Israel again today. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say." And I trust that Israel would realize today that the Lord is on their side, watching over them and protecting them. And then we can go to 127. "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." And then we're familiar again with Psalm 133. "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." And then Psalm 134, "As they arrived in the house of the Lord, come bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord." So you're glad you're in God's house this morning.
Amen.
We come to worship him, because he's not only the children of Israel's deliverer, but he's our deliverer. He's our saviour. He watches over us. He's with us 24/7 as we journey through life. Now, it's possible, because I've gone through a lot of translations as I've been looking at this psalm over the last month or so probably, it's possible, as one of the translations had as a footnote, that this psalm, although it would have been sung in unison as they maybe travelled together or when they were gathered together as God's people, it's also possible that this psalm originally may have been a conversation between either two or three people. And so it would go a little bit like this. The person, number one, the first person would actually say, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." So the first person would make that declaration. And then the second person would come in from verse 3, just verse 3, and turn to person 1 and would say, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. And then the third person would come into the conversation and turn to number 1 and to number 2 and say, "Behold, listen to this. This is good news. Lo, behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So the first person making the declaration that his help comes from the Lord is reassured by the other two. Yes, your help is going to come from the Lord. And this is good news. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. And that's good news for you and I this morning, that our Lord, our God, our Saviour, neither slumbers nor sleeps. Now, the usual interpretation when we come to Psalm 121, and it's the way that I've always looked at it, it's the way that I think that I've always heard those that preach it would say, that when it says, I lift my eyes to the hills, it's actually giving a picture, not really so much of looking at the hills, but looking beyond the hills. And so as you look that way, you look beyond the hills, and as a result, you will see yourself looking into the place where God himself is. So you're looking beyond the hills to the Lord God, who is the creator, the maker of heaven and earth, and who is going to be your helper. But when you actually read what it says, I will lift my eyes to the hills, to actually give that interpretation is actually thinking out of the box. It's looking beyond what that first sentence actually says. And overnight, as I was thinking of Israel, and I kept checking my phone to see what the latest news was, and as I was checking my phone at one point in the night to see what the latest news was in regards to Israel, I suddenly had this thought that just dropped into my spirit. What if the first line actually means what it says? I will lift my eyes to the hills. In other words, I'm going to look at the hills. They would be looking at the hills, the children of Israel. And as they were looking at the hills, before they made out on their journey to Jerusalem, in my spirit I felt this, that they would be looking at the hills and thinking of all the dangers they might come across, all the difficulties they might come across, and thinking to themselves, we've got to traverse this way or that way, we've got to go round that hill or over that hill. And so as I begin to make this journey and I'm looking at those hills that I've got to go over or around, where is my help going to come from? And then the assurance would come, well, my help's going to come from the Lord. He is the maker. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And we could bring it down to the narrative. He is the one who has made these hills or these mountains. And so as I go on this journey, he is going to be with me. Isn't that wonderful to know that he's going to be with us on every journey that we make? And so I lift my eyes to the hill. From whence does my help come from? Well, first of all, I will lift my eyes to the hills is both the declaration of what the person intends to do, to look or to lift their eyes towards the hills, and then immediately followed with a question, where does my help come from? And so we know the answer. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we need to remind ourselves this morning that if he has made the heavens and the earth, and I want you to apply it to your own circumstances this morning, if you believe with all of your heart that the Lord has made the heavens and the earth, then this should immediately reassure those who've sung it and reassure us here this morning that there cannot surely be anything, absolutely anything, that is impossible for him to do. Therefore, there is no better source of help to go to than the one who has made all things. It was Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 32, verse 17, who said, Ah, Lord God, it is you who made the heavens and the earth, by your great power and by your outstretched arm. What a statement to make. But he furthers it by saying, nothing is too hard for you. And I want each one this morning, I don't know your circumstances. You don't know my circumstances. We know something about one another, but I guarantee that there are things that we don't share with other people. As we're journeying through life, we keep things to ourselves, or we keep things within our families, or we keep things within our close circle of friends. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to share about it, or whatever else it might be. I want you to be reassured this morning that you can share it with him. Because there is absolutely nothing that is too hard or too difficult for God, and he's willing to come and to be your helper. And so the children of Israel knew this, both collectively as a nation of people, and they would have known it as individuals as well. And in saying, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, they were saying because they knew they could count on God and they could bank on his faithfulness. Remember that this morning. You can count on God and you can bank on his faithfulness. I guarantee this morning, you can go into your mind, you can think back as far as you want to, and I guarantee this morning that God has never failed you. You might have thought at the time he failed you. You might have thought that the circumstance, well, where is God? What are you doing? And everything else. But he would have been there, as he's there today. And as we look back, we can see that even though we didn't understand it, we can see how God was weaving his pattern for each of our lives. So to say, I will, is a declaration that we know that God is able. It is saying that God is willing. And so because God is willing, we come to him as our source of help. See, the children of Israel were, as we go back into their history, and ever since this psalm was written, the children of Israel were almost getting themselves into scrapes and into trouble. They seemed to be doing well one day, and then next time they were, well, they turned their backs on God. And then they'd come back to him. Then they turned their backs on him again. They were just forever getting themselves into scrapes and trouble. And in doing so, they could choose to do one of two things. When they're in trouble, they could have decided to try to muddle through on their own. Or secondly, they could choose to look to the Lord as their helper. And as I've said already, we are all faced with challenges. We're all faced with difficulties. We're all faced with issues, perhaps for some on a daily basis. And we too have the option to make a choice. We can try to muddle through on our own, and I guarantee we'll make a mess of it. Or instead, we can turn to the Lord as the one who is willing and can help us. See, we can be sure if we seek to muddle through, we'll end up in an even bigger muddle. We need to remember that nothing is too hard, nothing is too difficult, nothing is too complex for God to be able to sort out and to help us through with it. See, in coming to the Lord, we are wanting the help of the one who is the ultimate help available. There are other helps, but that's all they are. He is the helper, the ultimate helper that we can come to. And after all, the Psalms remind us, so specifically Psalm 139, he knows all about us because he has made us. He knows us. He's already planned out, written for us, the days allotted for us on this earth. Therefore, in coming to him, we are recognizing that he knows. We're recognizing that he cares. And we're recognizing that he will never fail us or let us down. So in lifting our eyes up towards the hills and towards the Lord, we are recognizing our own inadequacy and of his sufficiency. We are recognizing that although there are other helps available, he is the ultimate help, and he is the ultimate helper. And there's some other scriptures we could go to this morning. And we can see, as we look at these scriptures just very briefly this morning, we could go to one we know very well from Matthew, when Jesus is teaching or preaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And there in verse chapter 6 and verses 25 to 34, he starts off here, or continues in his conversation, but he starts this section off by saying, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, etc., etc. Your heavenly Father knows." Isn't that wonderful? He knows. So whatever your circumstances are this morning, he knows. Don't be anxious, because the great helper knows exactly where you are and what you need. What about that famous verse again in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7? Casting all your anxieties on him. Why would I do that? Well, Peter says, because he cares for you. Cares for you. I've quoted before, mentioned before, I should say, you know, sometimes you can go outside and you get, you know, caught up in a storm and you get drenched. I remember going storm watching when we were in Ville, because the forecast was for hurricane winds and everything else. And I went with my camera and I stood on the side of the wall where the sea was coming in and it was coming up over the top of me and everything else. And I got absolutely drenched. Talking of the faithfulness of God to deliver us, I was stood at one point behind a wall, and as I moved away from the wall, there was an almighty wave come and hit the wall, and the whole lot came down. And so many parts of Rill actually became submerged underwater. But the Lord preserved me. But what I want to bring from that was, I was absolutely sodden through. I had a good coat on, I had a good hat on, had my hood up, and everything else. But the moment that I got out, I chucked off everything that was wet. I got rid of it, because it was a nuisance, it was a hindrance. And there is so much in our hearts and in our lives that we get muddled up in and involved with, and God says to us, cast it on me, throw it on me, because I care for you. He cares for each one of you this morning. Doesn't just care for me, cares for Edwin, cares for Tracy. Things are gone for me now. Cares for Carol, cares for Billy, and I could go right round the church this morning. He cares for each one of us. So are you burdened this morning? Cast all your cares upon him. What about Psalm 8? I mentioned it this morning. What is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? Well, we're special to him. We're special to him. Of all that God has created, we are the most important to him. He loves us. What is man that you are mindful of him? And as we consider how puny we are compared to the one who created us, it doesn't matter, because he's revealed himself to us. And he welcomes us to come to him. Hebrews 4 verses 14 to 16. Since then, we've mentioned it this morning already, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. He's been where you are this morning. So he understands, he feels for you, he cares for you, so much so that he says to us in the next verse, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a Savior. He not only saves us by His grace, but He wants to pour His grace and His mercy into our lives every day. See, remember the story in the New Testament? We could go to a number of different accounts in the Gospels where people realized that Jesus was the answer to their need. And I love that one story in particular of the woman who had suffered with an issue for many, many years. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 28, she made this statement: "If I touch even his garment," I think one of the translations might even say that, "the hem of his garment," "even if I just touch the bottom of his garment, I will be made whole." And we can find of others. They knew that Jesus was the answer. And we learn from this lady that we can reach out. We can learn from Psalm 121. We can look up. We learn also that we can call out as the blind man did, because he cares for each one of us. As I was going through this psalm, I don't know what time I started, so it's a good thing, isn't it? As I was going through this psalm, I went to, as I said, a number of different translations to see verse 1 in each of them, because to me it's been interesting how some of them translate the word for hills and others as mountains. So the English Standard Version, the King James Version, the Modern English Version, and the New English Translation, they use the word hills. The New American Standard Bible, the New Living Translation, and the Christian Standard Bible uses the word mountains. Now, if you've got the NIV, it will depend on the edition of your NIV. So some of them use the word hills, some of them use the word mountains. If you go to the Amplified Version, it says the hills of Jerusalem. And I thought to myself, what is the difference between a hill and a mountain? What is the difference between a hill and a mountain? Well, the most obvious answer is this, that a hill is usually smaller than a mountain. I think we'd all come to that conclusion. See, where we're living back at home now, we are about 165 metres, our house, above sea level. Now, from our house, we walk up the steep hill to get into Stanley itself. And when you get to the top of Stanley, we are at 222 metres above sea level. Well, we're gathered here this morning in this place. We are at about 108 metres above sea level. Now, growing up, as you know, I lived on a farm. I lived in a village called Dinder, D-I-N-E-D-O-R, in Herefordshire. And Dinder is well known, especially in that locality, for what is known as Dinder Hill. It once had a Roman fort on it. And from the top of Dinder Hill, you can actually see for miles and miles. Yet Dinder Hill is only 200 metres above sea level. That's lower than Stanley. The farm, which I was brought up on, is called Tarsmill Farm. And Tarsmill Farm is at 74 metres above sea level. And from the farm, we could look up and see Dinder Hill, because it stood up or stood out from a long way around. But in contrast, my dad was brought up on a farm just outside of Llanigan, which is near Hay-on-Wye. The farm he was brought up on was called Colonel, and his farm was at 327 metres high. And from the farm where my dad grew up as a child, they could look up and they could see what is called the Black Mountains, and in particular Hay Bluff, which is at 664 metres. See, the hill or the mountain is perceived according to the perspective of where we are standing. See, from the farm where I live, Dinder Hill stood out. It seems to tower over the village. Yet it is tiny in comparison to where my dad lived. And I've walked down the hill many times. I've walked Hay Bluff many times. I've even walked Hay Bluff, the Black Mountains, overnight. And I can assure you, I'd rather climb down the hill than Hay Bluff. You might think, how does this help us to understand this psalm? It is all about us getting things in the right perspective. In the right perspective. How often have we tried to make a mountain out of a molehill? We're all guilty of it. And let me tell you, being a farmer's son and a gardener, that molehills are a nuisance. I had them in the garden last summer. But height and depth helps us to understand this psalm a little more. As I've already said, this was one of the psalms that the children of Israel sang on their way up to the house of the Lord, probably to Jerusalem. Remember in Daniel 6, it says that Daniel would open his window and he would pray towards Jerusalem. It would have had even more significance for the children of Israel as they were coming out of captivity and making their way home. They would have wanted to make for Jerusalem to come and to worship the Lord again. And it wasn't an easy journey. Travelling through terrain that sometimes was rugged, even not safe. Remember the parable that Jesus gave the Good Samaritan, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Somebody got beat up on the way. He could give a story like that because that was something that would have happened on a regular basis. And so they would seek the protection of the Lord as the helper to be upon them and with them as they travel. And so depending on how far some of them needed to travel, they would have had to meander around and possibly go over both hills and mountains. Now, in comparison to the figures I've given for my own circumstances, this is what it would have been like for the children of Israel. Jerusalem sits at about 754 metres above sea level. So that's already 100 metres above Hay Bluff, where my father lived. The highest point would be the Golan Heights at roughly 2,236 metres. And the lowest point would have been at the Dead Sea, which is minus 430 metres. So you can see, as the children of Israel made their journey, there would have been an altitude range for some of them of at least around 2,600 metres. And not just one climb. It would have been up and down, around and up and down. So no wonder they looked up to the hills or to the mountains, which would have varied according to where they were coming from. They knew that in making the journey, they would need the help of the Lord. But for us this morning, we can be faced with our own hills and our own mountains. The hills we would consider as the smaller problems. The mountains are the bigger problems. But whichever, we look beyond them to the Lord, who not only created the natural hills and the natural mountains, but who has the power to destroy, to level, to enable us to conquer the hills and the mountains that trouble us. Going back to Jeremiah, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Do we believe this this morning? Do we believe it this morning? I do care, but you understand what I mean when I say I don't care how big your problem is. Because God is bigger, stronger, and more powerful, and more mighty to meet your need. And we're all on a journey. Mentioned it on Friday night about the way that I've taken us different roads, different than me. Ian did last week. He took us down the cul-de-sac, the ring road, and the highway, or the clear way. And listen, every clear way still has its ups and downs. You travel from south of England up to the north of Scotland on a clearway, on a guarantee. On that clearway, you're going to go up, you're going to go down, you're going to go up, you're going to go down. Well, life is like that for every single one of us. As we can continually, as it is, what we need to do is to continually know what it is to look to the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, or in the New Testament context, to look with our eyes firmly fixed upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And he will help us. He will always come to our aid as we cry out to him, because he is a faithful God. Remember a song we used to sing a long time ago, "When the road is rough and steep." And I can assure you, it's often been like that for me. The road sometimes has been rough, sometimes the road has been steep. But it says, when the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him. Jesus is a gracious friend, one on whom you can depend. He is faithful to the end. Fix your eyes upon him. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, or I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Well, let's mix them together. I will lift up my eyes towards the mountains and the hills. Because whatever it is, how difficult it is, it doesn't matter, because God is bigger and greater than what they are. So my help, your help, our help this morning comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Close, going back to the Songs of Ascent, verses 1 to 2 of Psalm 123. To you. To no one else, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. And he will have mercy upon you. So whatever you're faced with this morning, it could be difficulties at home, it could be difficulties at school or at college, it could be difficulties in the workplace, it could even be difficulties with neighbours, because I can assure you, we've had that in places where we've lived. But we can look to the Lord. We can look to the Lord. Because he's not only our God, he's not only our Saviour, he's our helper this morning. So let's look to the Lord. Trust him, because he's a faithful God. Amen.
Yes, indeed, faithful. And we sing our final.